Danny America tonight. Big doings politically inside the Beltway and outside as well. That's where we're going to start here in this hour of ATN. Let's go to Chicago first. Rahm Emanuel gets his wish. The genie popped out of the bottle and said, Rahm, guess what? You get a chance to appeal to the Illinois Supreme Court. So we're not going to print the ballots without your name on it. That means Rahm Emanuel still has a shot at becoming the mayor of the Windy City. Here were some of his thoughts upon learning about that.
Yes, you can question my residency. I got it. That's okay. But there's also a question of the residency of a company that with hundreds of jobs has just left Chicago. People came up to me and said, I'm not going to vote for you, but you deserve to be on the ballot. And I believe they deserve the right to make that choice.
Of course, he wants it. President Obama, by the way, thinks that his former chief of staff, Emanuel, is eligible to run for mayor of Chicago, even though it was that state appellate court ruling the other day that surprised, I think, a lot of people, that set this whole thing in motion. And Valerie Jarrett, who is the senior advisor to Barack Obama, was on one of the morning shows and kind of spoke for him and said that this ongoing legal dispute, ultimately, you know, this is what will be determined for whoever the mayor is, but that the president believes that he should be able to run. You heard what he just said there. And it's looking like he's going to get that a really good chance because he's got that appeal in front of the Supreme Court, so they won't print up the ballots. Speaking of elections, the president is really playing for another election because he's 2 years in. Time flies. We're in 2011. Time to run again. 2012 is a presidential election year, of course. And the Republicans are busy trying to figure out who's going to be the person who's going to run, taking straw polls. This is typical. This is what you do leading up to a presidential election. But the State of the Union addresses and the times that the president gets to strut his stuff are important because now when he's laying it all out, there's a scorecard. I think during the State of the Union, he said bipartisan, I don't know how many times, maybe 20 times. The theme was Democrats, Republicans, we're working together. We're sitting together. Let's work together. Let's figure this out. I'm here for you, baby. I'm here. You want to talk about immigration? Well, I don't care what side of the aisle you're from. Let's do it. Let's figure it out. Let's do it. Same thing with health care. Yeah, not everything's perfect. Pre-existing conditions, we like that. What about keeping the kids on health care till they're 26? I think we can all agree. Whatever. And we can throw out the 1099 when you have a small business and you have people that are vendors that are making $600 or more. So you have to chase them all over the place and have all kinds of red tape. The president specifically mentioned that. However, there were some fuzzy math numbers, I think, that were thrown out. And some of what the president said are promises, if you will, that were also said in a previous speech. And let's face it, what ails the country is the economic woes. The deficit is worrisome beyond all get out, and the spending has to stop. It has to stop. The president specifically said that about freezing government, freezing some of the government jobs or all federal employees won't get raises for 2 years. He was going to have to cut some things that he really cares about, and we're going to have to make tough choices, but we're going to do it, and we're going to save this money. And so I think he tried to play to the Republicans. He tried to be careful because he threw in a few things for the Democrats. But he threw out a lot for the Republicans and danced around a few issues as well. So here are little snippets that we put together in one big pot to mix around so you could hear a little bit of what the president had to say.
What comes at this moment will be determined not by whether we can sit together tonight, but whether we can work together tomorrow. Every young person listening tonight who's contemplating their career choice, If you want to make a difference in the life of our nation, if you want to make a difference in the life of a child, become a teacher. Your country needs you. I call on all our college campuses to open their doors to our military recruiters and ROTC. It is time to leave behind the divisive battles of the past. It is time to move forward as one nation. Because the American people deserve to know that special interests aren't larding up legislation with pet projects, both parties in Congress should know this. If a bill comes to my desk with earmarks inside, I will veto it. I will veto it. If a bill comes to my desk with earmarks inside, I will veto it. I will veto it.
All right, that was a big thing about the earmarks, and you heard some of what he was saying in working together. The overall theme, absolutely, was the whole bipartisan deal. A lot of the song and dance stuff that we've heard before. Tomas in Michigan, you have the floor, my friend. Hello.
Hi, Kate. I thought it was really interesting that Barack Obama brought up the Sputnik example. And Barack Obama is the one who has shut down NASA. Almost, you know, to... The only thing they're making now is paper planes over there or something. I don't know what they're doing. So I went through his transcript, and all the dates that he has are like 2014, 2035. We're going to do this by 20.
Yeah.
After he's going to be out of office.
Right.
I love to do that, you know. That's like promising something when you have no ability to affect it either way. And when it comes to earmarks, earmarks are not black and white.
Yeah.
Earmarks can be good and they can be bad. And some people say, well, an earmark is something that is not germane to the bill. Well, who is going to say what is germane or not?
Right.
You know, that's going to be the whole thing. I mean, for example, abortion, some people are going to say that's not germane to health. And some people are going to say, oh, it is germane to health. And so
You're right. You can't. It's very gray because there's some absolutely ridiculous, stupid pork projects out there. But there are some that make sense and they get lumped into earmarks. And that's kind of they're kind of misnamed or mislabeled because now it's a dirty word. Yes.
From what I understand, an earmark is a bill that is put in there, an amendment,
mm-hmm.
and it is, sometimes it'll specify how that money is to be spent
yep.
and where. And I think that's a good idea if your idea is to make sure that the money is spent in
where
the best, most efficient way possible.
Right. Absolutely. Tomas, we're up against it. Thanks for bringing up Sputnik. Yeah, that was one part of his speech. And ironically, some people are going to lose their job at NASA because of how much money has been cut in that budget. Stay with us. Different points of view when it comes to health care. What about those pre-existing conditions? Who's paying for it? Dr. Orient up next.
This is not a drill.
Repeat.
This is not a drill.
Gun sales are on a staggering pace.
Gun prices are going through the roof, and that means desperate, vicious criminals now want your guns
and will do anything to get them.
Now, a new book reveals powerful secrets for hiding your guns from thieves and looters. You'll learn step-by-step battle-hardened techniques, where to hide your guns so criminals will never find them,
how to create the perfect hiding place,
as well as the places you should never hide your guns
under any circumstance.
These and other closely guarded gun caching secrets are guaranteed to keep your weapons safe and out of sight when the going gets tough.
But listen up.
For security reasons, the Hide Your Guns book and even the website may disappear without warning at any time. Go to hideyourguns.com.
That's hideyourguns.com.
Or call 877-327-0365.
Before they come for your guns.
Hideyourguns.com right now.
Right now. Right now.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. January 25th, 2011. Gold opened this morning at $1,326.30. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,360.99, $680.49 for a half ounce, or $340.25 for a quarter ounce. That's $360.99, $680.49, and $340.25.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm, warning of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. CBO is drawing a parallel between U.S. economy and the Greek economic meltdown. Debt to GDP climbing to unfamiliar territory and deficits rising to unsupportable levels. Hi, Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crisis document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risks of deficit spending, aging population, and rising interest rates spells economic disaster. Call today at 800-686-2237. I'll send it free. Again, call 800-686-2237. Ask for the CBO document. Call 800-686-2237.
Not all protein supplements are created equal. One World Whey is the first cold temperature processed, 100% all natural, unrefined, bioactive, grass pasture raised milk whey protein. Far from being another ordinary protein supplement, One World Whey is a full-spectrum nutrition power food in and of itself, providing overall life-building benefits that touch virtually every human's life that other protein supplements don't deliver on. What are the benefits? Boosts the immune system, anti-aging properties, helps detoxification, helps reduce body fat, excellent for building lean muscle, increases energy levels, enhances the feelings of youth, sports performance, exercise recovery. Who's it for? Busy people, hardworking executives, students, teachers, active seniors, people recovering from illness, office workers, construction workers, and high-performance athletes. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast and all those spots in between. We don't know the numbers yet, but there were a lot of people, I'm sure, watching the State of the Union address. One of the things that was mentioned when the president took a few minutes to talk about health care, he brought up pre-existing conditions and pointed out some people in the chambers, different people who had had severe operations and, you know, what it would cost and the cost of that. But there's mass confusion over coverage for pre-existing conditions already. And the fact that with this new health care law, guess what? You will be paying for everybody else's pre-existing conditions. That's the whole, remember, individually mandated. You'll have to do that. So welcoming to this show, we are going to pull into from our virtual green room Dr. Jane Orient, who has definite feelings on health care reform and, of course, pre-existing conditions. She can explain it even better than I can. Doc, thanks so much for taking some time out to join us on the air. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
What don't people realize about the pre-existing condition thing? Because initially you hear it, and it sounds, oh, great, okay, so every pre-existing conditions, whew, thank goodness, because, you know, I was worried about that, jumping from job to job and everything else. But I think there's confusion over pre-existing conditions and the bill, how gigantic it would ultimately be because of this individually mandated deal that everybody has to have health insurance. Explain that.
Well, pre-existing conditions are not insurable. You can't buy insurance while your house is burning down or right after you've had a car wreck or right after you've had a major operation or diagnosis. Insurance is something you buy to voluntarily share risk of something that's not likely to happen but would be catastrophic if it did. So there certainly are some people who have a problem and that they've lost their job and they've lost their insurance, and they have to be underwritten, and they can't buy insurance at an affordable cost. There are a few million people like that. Most people don't have a problem with this because with employer insurance, it's not a problem. With Medicare and Medicaid, of course, it's not a problem. But there are a few people who are stuck. And the reason this really came about was because people have insurance tied to their jobs, which is really strange when you think about it. You don't get your life insurance or your car insurance or your homeowner's insurance attached to your job. And since people change jobs pretty often, then they are at risk of losing this very important employment benefit and having to be underwritten again when they change carriers.
Yeah, I agree with you, too, by the way. I don't think your insurance should be tied to your job. That's part of the problem. They need to get out of the business of insuring. It's a mess. That's what's become such a nightmare. So what are the things that happened that people don't understand, and this is something also that's been discussed, is the high-risk pools for the uninsurable. What do the high-risk pools do?
Well, these are state things. I think they exist in about 35 states, and the state will subsidize and force insurers to, you know, chip in something for people who cannot get insurance otherwise. And they do have to pay a higher premium, though. It may be $50 higher, it may be $100 a month higher than a comparable policy for a person who is not in a high-risk pool. See, the problem is if you say, okay, we're going to let you buy insurance when you have a pre-existing condition, people are going to say, well, gee, if I can buy it when I'm sick, why should I buy it ahead of time? But, you know, if you buy it when you're sick, the premium has to be really, really high, and nobody wants to pay the really, really high premium, so then you have to force them to buy the insurance, which gets into the individual mandate. I mean, what people don't realize is that we've already tried this in states like New York and New Jersey, and the monthly cost of health insurance is in the individual market is so huge that nobody can afford it. You know, $9,000 a month, something like that. Because if you say you can have guaranteed issue, you can get insurance after you're sick, and then we're going to spread the cost evenly over low risk people as well, the price goes up and up and up.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And we see this already. Doc, there are people reporting all over the place that their premiums are going up double digits, 25%, that everything was okay. Now with all these changes, all of a sudden they're getting these bills, and the insurance companies are putting, of course, they're putting it back on the people they're insuring. I mean, this is ultimately, it seems backwards to me. If the idea was to make affordable health care, how is that affordable?
Well, it's not affordable, and if you load on all kinds of mandates about what additional things have to be covered, the price is going to go up. And said, well, we will make it affordable by not letting insurance company raise the price. Well, if they have to pay out all these claims and they can't raise the price, they're going to be insolvent, and so nobody's going to get their claims paid because the insurance company's bankrupt. So that doesn't make a lot of sense. It's just a crazy upside-down backwards way of trying to fix some problems in the system by just blowing the whole system apart.
Yeah. We're speaking with Dr. Jane Orion. She's the executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. What do your colleagues say about Obama's health care law?
Well, a lot of them are saying that they can't afford to stay in business because the doctors are going to have all of these new requirements. They're figuring they're going to either have to quit altogether or maybe merge with a larger practice, go into what's called an accountable care organization, which is just another name for a very intrusive HMO that gives all kinds of incentives to deny or delay medical care.
Boy, and then as I'm sure you're so well aware of, too, we have listeners, people that are listening to us in Canada, people who are listening to us in the UK and other places, and they've called up and told us their stories, Dr. Orion, about waiting, a mother waiting for a hip replacement for a year because, of course, it was considered elective and they didn't have any beds, and, you know, that's how the healthcare system is. And while there are some good doctors in Canada, it's getting to them and getting to the beds. Do you think there's a fear, as you were saying, the reaction from some of your colleagues, that a lot of people will just be driven away from this? A lot of really good doctors will say, you know, I've had a good living, I'm going to move on from this because I don't want to deal with now these changes and these mandates and ultimately what they're going to do. Will we see that?
Well, about half of the doctors in some surveys have said, yeah, that's what they're going to do. And if you say, well, we're not going to believe it, they're really not going to do what they said they're going to do. We can look at the UK, and the number of physicians before socialized medicine was cut almost in half by 1971. So doctors did leave medicine, or they left the country. And I think that's going to happen here.
Yeah, I agree. I agree as well. What would you like to see happen now that, I mean, we're in the thick of this? You saw what happened with the House. There's still a lot of pressure to pull things out. And if not completely get rid of it, to at least pick it apart. Even the president said that he was willing to work on that. What do you hope happens here?
It should be repealed. It should just be repealed. I can't find anything good in it. The best thing that people, the most popular thing, is this pre-existing condition, which really isn't insurance if you force insurance companies to cover that at the same premium as everybody else. So it just really can't be salvaged. It gets to none of the problems that have caused our current cost spiral, which the most important one is third-party payment of everything. The insurance company pays the provider rather than the patient. So the patients and the doctors are really driven apart by this insurance company between them, and neither one of them has any incentive to try to economize.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, we'll see what happens, because there's certainly an outcry, and I still believe the voters, but that's what we saw with the midterm elections. But the more we continue to get these premium increases, and I think that part of it is a lot of people, and you know this, I'm sure, from patients and whatnot, Dr. Orient, that people don't really understand how it affects them until the day it does, until they get a crazy premium or something doesn't make sense. Do you think that's right?
Right, or until their insurance company says,
yeah,
well, I'm sorry, we're out of business, or their doctor's office is closed, or they find they have to apply to some bureaucracy to find out whether they're eligible, or they find they have to report to the IRS, all kinds of things, so the IRS can determine whether they have done their duty of buying insurance for other people's health care.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Dr. Orient, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight. We'll talk with you again sometime. We appreciate it.
Thank you, and good night.
Good night. All right, so you can tell that this is somebody who knows her stuff and has received a lot of accolades in her career, and says that she's a voice for the patients and for the physicians. That's the group that she's a part of, and is very, very concerned with the government play here and the fact that just flat out get rid of it. You can't pick it apart because there's very little in it that's worth saving. So there you go. Remember, you can always send us your thoughts at americatonight.net. You can also get to us on Facebook and Twitter through americatonight.net.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
New year, new way to smoke, and it's totally wicked.
Introducing Totally Wicked e-liquid electronic cigarettes, the highest quality e-cigarettes in the world. With Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes, there's no flame, no secondhand smoke, no carbon monoxide, no tar, no unsightly brown teeth or fingers,
and no lingering smell.
Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes have a battery charge that lasts up to 8 hours. Plus, with a Totally Wicked Tornado model, the average pack-a-day smoker is likely to save over $1,000 a year. The Totally Wicked Tornado provides a storm of vapor paper. See it at totallywicked-eliquid.com. That's totallywicked-eliquid.com. Or call 888-761-9425. Get a 15% discount with promo code GCNLIVE. Go to totallywicked-eliquid.com. Or call 888-761-9425. That's 888-761-9425. Or online at totallywicked-eliquid.com. Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes.
The next generation of alternative smoking.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
There's a man named Dr. Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician, Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, taking charge of their life, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs leading to side effects. This is clearly a deadly recipe. The good news is Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government and big pharma manipulation of our healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare and have joined forces to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit InfoWarsTeam.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I want you to join our InfoWars team. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
America tonight, Stephen Shohat joins us from Hollywood. Yeah, he's an insider. He is. He's written a cool book, Hollywood Stories. It's a great read. I know I say this every single time he comes on. I feel like I'm his agent. But he also, I mean, he takes these Hollywood tours. He knows the landscape. He really does. And it was a big day in Hollywood, very early in the morning. It's interesting because at night you close things out in Washington with the State of the Union, and early in the morning, though, it was all about the movies. We could discuss real reality and fake reality, but there were some interesting things that I think came out of the awards. You know, you can always talk about who got snubbed and who's right there, like the 12 Academy Award nominations for, check this out, we're going to play a little bit of it before we go to Stephen, The King's Speech. Take a listen.
We need to relax your jaw muscles, strengthen your tongue. And you do have a flabby tummy, so we'll need to spend some time strengthening your diaphragm. Simple mechanics.
Fine.
Dragon Jill
went up the hill.
Went up the hill.
So, best picture, best director, best actor. Interesting movies, I think, that were chosen, and I saw some of them. Social Network was another one. We'll get to that in a second. But, Stephen, it's always a big day when they do the Academy Awards, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when they nominate 10 movies. Who can keep up with them all? I've seen 7 out of the 10 so far, so still got 3 to go. But I guess the big surprise today, if there is a surprise, is Christopher Nolan not getting nominated for the Inception, for directing Inception, and people think that's a snub or a conspiracy or something like that. But it's probably just a collective taste. I mean, there might be some resentment because of his success. It kind of is similar in a way, I guess, to Spielberg, who didn't get nominated and win till I think he was 47 with Schindler's List. And so maybe I think Christopher Nolan's about 41, so maybe he has a few years to go.
Does that happen a lot? I mean, is it politics? It's about politics, right?
You know what? I don't know if it's politics or if it's just, like I said, a collective taste. I don't know if people are getting together in a room and saying, you know, let's snub this guy or we don't like this one. Or, I think it's just a bunch of people who might react similarly to the same thing, and it might seem that way. But I don't think there's a big conspiracy theory. And one thing about, you know, the politics of it, you just don't know. I mean, you had, Terrence Howard campaigned heavily for his award for Hustle and Flow. Monique didn't campaign at all for Precious. Monique won. Same with Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler. He campaigned like crazy. Sean Penn didn't do a thing. Sean Penn won. And Mickey Rourke didn't. So, you can go back and forth with these things. There doesn't seem to be a pattern to it. It's different every year. But I'm glad the King's Speech got 12 nominations, though.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah. I love that. I love The Fighter. I'm not so high on The Social Network, actually. I'll tell you a movie I really loved that didn't get nominated at all. It's called The Concert, and it was a foreign film, and it was it's about this group that passes themselves off as the Bolshoi Orchestra. It's a very funny movie, and it's also a Weinstein produced movie, but it didn't get any attention this year. But it's an interesting crop of movies, and we'll have to see where it goes. There's certainly some influence to get The Social Network elected as Best Picture. I mean, even in Entertainment Weekly, I noticed they described the King's Speech as unhip. Whereas The Social Network, is obviously the hippest thing around, or at least presented that way. So it'll be interesting to see how the Oscar voters go on this.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, since you said The Social Network, I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was great, but we have a little snippet of it. We want everybody to hear it in case they missed it. Let's roll The Social Network.
You must really hate the Winklevosses.
I don't hate anybody. The Winklevi aren't suing me for intellectual property theft. They are suing me because for the first time in their lives, things didn't work out the way they were supposed to for them.
Yeah, there you go. And that's the whole thing where he had to pony up money. Zuckerberg had to pony up money, and the whole idea of did he steal the idea of Facebook. I mean, here's the thing. This guy just gets bigger and bigger, Stephen. Zuckerberg is just in control of the world.
He does, and of course Facebook gets bigger and bigger. But Zuckerberg, he said some things about that movie that first of all, they made it seem in the movie like he was trying to win this girl by creating Facebook. And he said, I was dating the same girl before I Facebook was created that I'm dating now. Second of all, he said that the lawsuits, which are a big portion of the movie, was such a little portion of his life and such a little portion of the Facebook experience. So they had to find, like any story, the dramatic turning point to tell it on. But the thing about it is that the problem with that movie to me is there you don't like anybody.
I mean,
The King's Speech, you really like the people. The Fighter, you really like the people, or you have emotion. There's no emotion in this movie whatsoever. Nobody to connect to, in my opinion. I mean, and the other funny thing to me, Kate, is that here's the Social Network, and it's kind of frat boyish to a certain extent. I mean, they have frat boys in it.
Sure.
And they're showing parties and things like that, and it's PG-13. And here's The King's Speech, which is obviously a classy movie, but because the king has some frustrating moments, and he lets out some bad language at some points, it's an R-rated movie. And if you, I can't believe that, I mean, The King's Speech to me, I don't know, it just seems so much classier. And now Harvey Weinstein is planning, apparently, to re-edit the King's Speech and get rid of some of the bad language and make it a PG-13 movie so more people can see it during Oscars season. Now, that, I don't know, that could backfire on him, or it could lead to a wider audience. But I mean, he's, and the director, Tom Hooper, he had no comment about that whatsoever, so you wouldn't think he would be too happy about changing the cut at this point. But that's why they call him Harvey Scissorhands, because he cuts things. So
sometime we're going to have you come on and we're going to talk about the Motion Picture Association and the whole rating board. Boy, I saw a great documentary on that, and I'm sure you have some thoughts on that too. Hey, you mentioned The Fighter. I want everybody to hear a little snippet of The Fighter.
You got your confidence and your focus from O'Keefe, and from Sal, and your father, and from me. Dickie's a junk bag.
Hey.
He's a junk bag.
Why am I the problem? I'm his blood. I'm his family. I'm
the
one fighting, okay? Not you, not you, and not you. I know what I need.
And you need Dickie?
I want Dickie back.
Yeah, and you know, it took Mark Wahlberg a while to get that movie made, didn't it? That was a hard one to get made.
Yeah, he had, the real Mickey living in his house, actually, so he could get everything to be very, very authentic. Yeah, it was a, yeah. Mark Wahlberg's really doing well right now with Entourage and I'm forgetting the name of that show, the crime show, Atlantic.
Oh, yeah, the Atlantic City show, Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah. Boardwalk Empire, yeah, and The Fighter. The thing about that is that Christian Bale got nominated and Mark Wahlberg didn't, and it goes to show you, in a lot of these movies, what Academy voters do look for, again, you're talking about collective taste, is a showy performance, but you can't really have a showy performance like Christian Bale unless you have a sort of, straight man is the right word, but a sort of low-key performance, in this case Mark Wahlberg, to go alongside that. And Christian Bale experienced that when he was sort of the straight man to Heath Ledger as the Joker. And he said, you know, he's given performances like Mark Wahlberg before, and you don't get that kind of attention. And that, I mean, you go back when they made the movie Titanic, Leonardo DiCaprio didn't want to do the role of the character Jack, and James Cameron said, you know, I know what you want. You want to do him with a hunchback or a limp or something to make him showy, but it's mm-hmm. a lot more difficult to play your nice Jimmy Stewart type role than it is to play one of those, you know, more deformed or whatever you want to call them characters. But that type of character, whether it's Rain Man or Elephant Man or something like that, tends to get more Oscar voter attention, at least it has over the years. But you know, you can really appreciate the low-key acting that Mark Wahlberg did in that film.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, we only have a couple of quick minutes left. I'm going to switch gears on you because I know we were going to talk about Jack LaLanne. Jack LaLanne, wow, that guy, he like lived forever. He had 10 lives. Until the other day.
Yeah, 96 years old. Mm. Hard to imagine him as a sickly kid with a sugar addiction who admitted to trying to kill his brother with an axe at one point. And he said, my brother was so relieved I was too sickly to really put any strength into it. And then at the age of 15, he went to hear a lecture from a health nutritionist named Paul Bragg, and it turned Jack LaLanne's life around, and he started eating differently. I mean, I don't want to say people with sugar addictions are normally homicidal, by the way, but he started eating totally differently and obviously became really into fitness and started teaching people at his high school and became the captain of the football team. And then, of course, eventually he parlayed that into a television show that was on for 34 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, he always had some problems on the show, like one time, you know, he was talking about this processed food. Oh, are we running out of time?
We're running out of time.
Okay.
Save that story for the next time, though. But that was excellent stuff and what you told us about how who knew he was a sickly kid and then look at what he turned out to be. Stephen Shohat, we'll pick it up again next Tuesday right here in America Tonight. Thank you.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut?
Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects, is safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled Dermatol.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you're serious about playing college football, give yourself the competitive edge with the National Underclassmen Football Combine. The NUC is the longest-running underclassmen event and the most respected combine and football camp in the nation. Specifically designed to give athletes early recruiting exposure, there's no better time than now to compete in the National Underclassmen Football Combine. Call 888-NUC-MVP1 or go to nationalunderclassmen.com to find out more.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Jump back to the State of the Union, and we're going to call this odds and ends. The Oscars in the morning and then late at night, the State of the Union. And for the Oscars, all total, and I did mention this, but I'll say it again, The King's Speech had 12 nominations, True Grit, 10, and then you can pick it apart from there and go through. The Social Network had 8 nominations, all totaled. You know, Michelle Williams was there for Blue Valentine, the movie that she was in. And The Kids Are All Right, another movie where Annette Bening and Mark Ruffalo are both nominated in that one. And Julianne Moore isn't nominated for an Oscar whatsoever. And that movie is starting to get a lot of buzz. And Annette Bening already got a Gold Globe, if you remember, a couple of weeks ago. Sometimes that can be the forerunner to the Oscar. And here's a little snippet of The Kids Are All Right.
Your mom and I sense that there's some other stuff going on in your life. We just want to be let in.
What do you mean?
Are you having a relationship with someone?
You can tell us, honey. We would understand and support you.
Look, I only met him once.
What do you mean, once?
Did he find you online?
Wait.
What?
Wait, who did you meet once?
Paul.
Paul,
I met him with Joni.
Why was Joni there?
She set it up.
Forget the setup. Who's Paul?
Our sperm donor.
All right, that kind of gives you a little glimpse into what that's all about. By the way, for Best Picture, and Steven mentioned this, you have 10 pictures, Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech, 127 Hours, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, Winner's Bone. I think you saw almost all of those pictures, didn't you, Matt? What did you like the best of all of them for Best Picture?
Wow. I think
that's tough.
It is tough. Black Swan was, I thought, though, out of all the movies, I thought the one least deserving of all the hype that it's been getting was True Grit. And I know a lot of people will probably disagree with me, but it was a good movie, but I just didn't feel like it was as great as everyone else kind of made it out to be. And I don't know if maybe it's just I didn't appreciate enough, maybe I'm not familiar enough with the older version of it, but I just think it was a good movie, it wasn't a great movie, and I thought there were other movies that were better. I thought the Social Network actually was a better movie than that. I thought Black Swan was a better movie, The Kids Are All Right's a good movie, and I just felt like of the movies, True Grit was probably the least favorite of mine.
All right, True Grit I thought was good, but I agree with you. I can't believe it's getting all those accolades. He brings up Black Swan, actress in a lead role, Annette Bening, The Kids Are All Right, Nicole Kidman, Rabbit Hole, Jennifer Lawrence, Winner's Bone, Natalie Portman, Black Swan, Michelle Williams, I already mentioned, she's up for Blue Valentine. If you look at actor in a lead role, Javier Bardem, Beautiful, I think that's how you say it, Jeff Bridges, True Grit, Jesse Eisenberg, The Social Network, Colin Firth, The King's Speech, he should win, or James Franco, 127 Hours. Also, I love him in anything that he does. Actress in a supporting role, Amy Adams, The Fighter, Helena Bonham Carter in The King's Speech, Melissa Leah in The Fighter. She was in that. Haley Steinfeld, True Grit, The Little Girl, Jackie Weaver, Animal Kingdom. I'm going to give you a couple of more because I hate that when people talk about the awards and they don't tell you who was nominated. Actor in a supporting role, Christian Bale, The Fighter, John Hawkes, Winner's Bone, Jeremy Renner, The Town. I saw that. He was excellent in it. Mark Ruffalo, I mentioned him. The King's All Right. The Kids Are All Right, rather. Not The King's. The Kids Are All Right. Jeffrey Rush, The King's Speech. For directing, Darren Aronofsky, Black Swan, David O. Russell, The Fighter, Tom Hopper, The King's Speech, David Fincher, The Social Network, Joel and Ethan Coen, True Grit. Original screenplay, probably, you got Another Year, you got The Fighter, you got Inception, The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech. I love to give credit to the writers. I don't think they get enough credit. Anyway, that pretty much sums it up for you. That's your Oscar nods, and then there's all the other things in between. These are the nominations, anyway. The stuff, whether it's for original score or costumes or whatever it might be. It's funny because some people, I was reading some of the tweets that I got, some people were comparing Barack Obama's State of the Union, our president's State of the Union address, to the King's speech. I think it was kind of a far cry from the King's speech, and I haven't seen the King's speech. I've only seen a little of the snippets from it. But there were a lot of people who had different things to say about some of what the president expressed. And one of them, a couple of them were this. Representative Alan West, who is a retired Army lieutenant colonel, said that Obama did the right thing by mentioning American exceptionalism, because he talked about who we are, about America being the greatest country, still being the greatest country, and talked about that you know, we're the country that can do it. I think when he said that, it made me think the idea is we're not going to go down to the depths of what's terrible and what's wrong. We're going to build up. And that seemed to be the focus of the speech. Senator Dianne Feinstein from California said that she liked, now this is a big-time Democrat, she said the she liked the focus on the economy, but she thought there weren't enough specifics on the debts. And I thought this was one of the funnier things that I read, and I actually heard him talking somewhere. Senator Tom Coburn, a Republican from Oklahoma, commented on Obama's Sputnik reference in response to the State of the Union address, and he said the president's biggest push was to advance an argument he's made several times, but he said every time that happens, the problem is that we've had countless Sputnik moments in recent decades, and it's nothing but a bunch of junk. It turns out to be nothing but a bunch of junk. Some things that I got from what the president said was a fact, and I mentioned this already at the very top of the show when we were talking to Ellen Ratner from Washington, D.C., is the fact that there was nothing about guns. There were hints that he might kind of gloss over it, use the whole Tucson thing, but that wasn't the case at all. No mention whatsoever. It makes sense. If I were writing the speech for him, I wouldn't put it in there, because from his point of view, why would you bring that up with the assault ban expired? Why would you even tiptoe in that direction? He talked about briefly Tucson and the seat being empty, Gabby Gifford's seat being empty, and she's a friend and colleague and all that. He talked a lot about education, the race to the top, and how that has to be a priority because overall we're ninth in the world when it comes to college degrees, and we need to be number one. He talked about what a good job Republicans and Democrats did in the race to the top, but not in Washington, the governors who have pushed to make this a reality. He talked about immigration, which I thought was shocking, that they need to deal with it. He's fully prepared to deal with the illegal immigration problems, and he pushed for really the anchor babies to stay to get education. There's no reason why they should be thrown out. It's not their fault. They didn't do anything wrong, that they're here in the United States pledging allegiance to the flag. And he talked about in 5 years, 80% of Americans will have access to high-speed rail, and that this is one of the things that could help to get people working, because there would be so many jobs created by this high-speed rail that would connect the country. And to that I say, hey, for the flyover states, I think it'd be good, but where is this money coming from? And vetoing any bill with earmarks was very big for this president, vetoing any bill with earmarks. He flat out said that. So I think the two surprises were that one, to me, and the immigration deal, and of course tipping into healthcare, knowing how contentious it is. This is a little bit on the State of the Union. By the way, my grade for the president, the mood, you know, it was kind of, I won't say it was a lighter mood, but it wasn't that angry, bitter tone that you normally hear. Maybe it was because of the sitting together thing. I would say he gets a B minus. You might disagree, or you might think he gets a better grade than that. Send me your grades from the State of the Union to americatonight.net.